Amen. Take the word of God this evening, if you would, be turning to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. Daniel, chapter 6. We looked this morning at Daniel, chapter 1, and how that Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat or the wine which the king drank. And we want to look at another example this evening in the life of Daniel, how that he stood fast or demonstrated standing fast in the Lord. And at this particular time, in Daniel chapter 6 here, it's thought that Daniel was possibly in his 80s or even 90s. He's up in years, which should remind us or serve as a reminder we're never too old to go through difficulties. Sometimes we think that difficulties come to young who make foolish decisions at times. Daniel's difficulties was not based upon a foolish decision. It was based out of envy from those around him. And he's still going to be tested regarding his consecration to the Lord. And was his consecration a matter of convenience or a matter of convenient circumstances, or was it a matter of choice regardless of the circumstances? I think we're going to see in just a little bit it was a matter of choice in spite of the circumstances he found himself in. Now, sadly, many people today, too many people today, consecration's based on convenience. We're going to consider tonight how Daniel's consecration passed the test. And again, it was not something that was based upon convenience. It was based out of his convictions, and his convictions was based upon the principles of God's word. And again, he wasn't consecrated because it was convenient. You know, and I'll say more about this maybe in just a moment. It's easy to be consecrated Christians here at church. Amen. It's easy to be a consecrated Christian or a serious Christian while here at Temple Baptist Church. It's quite another thing to be a consecrated Christian tomorrow at work or Tuesday at work or wherever we might be tomorrow or Tuesday. But Daniel's consecration was not based upon a convenience. His consecration was based upon that which was right. And we're going to begin reading in verse 1 of Daniel chapter 6. And the Bible said, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give an account or give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." And then I want you to go down, if you would, to verse number 20. And this is really the text verse for the message tonight, though we'll look at most of this entire chapter. But the Bible tells us in verse number 20, "And when he came," well, let's read verse 18, "And then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" Note that question that we find there, or that the king asked, "Is thy God able to deliver thee?" We're going to consider some thoughts regarding that question tonight, and I think they'll be helpful if we would see how this would apply to our lives. And again, Daniel is an example of standing fast in the Lord. And so let's pray and ask the Lord to teach us the things he'd have us to know and understand tonight, and to lead us or guide us to the place that he desired that we might be this evening. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for your word. And Lord, how it speaks to our hearts, and Lord, how that it molds us and makes us into an image that's pleasing to you. I pray tonight, as the word of God is spoken this evening, that Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, we as human instruments do not have that ability. And Lord, I pray you would do the work in our lives that only you can do. Lord, we certainly are desirous of you leading and directing in our lives tonight. And Lord, help us not hinder the fulfillment of your purpose this evening. And we'll certainly be grateful for all that it is that you do. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Again, we find here the story, maybe the most popular story regarding Daniel, the story of Daniel being placed or cast into the den of lions. And I want you to notice as we begin to look at this, first of all, Daniel's position. We read these verses a moment ago, but go back, if you would, to verse number 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, understand this evening, Daniel had proven himself to be a trustworthy individual, a man with great character. So much so that the king preferred him above all the other presidents. Darius had set over the kingdom 120 princes. And then over the princes, there was three presidents, again, which the Bible says Daniel was the first one. Each of these presidents would certainly be in charge, or they 40 of the princes would reply or respond to these three presidents. Now, the reason that Daniel was first of the presidents is found in verse number 3. Again, note these words, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Daniel had a good character. He had integrity, like we looked at this morning. He was a man that had proven himself. And again, he had good character in the midst of a wicked people. I hear people say occasionally, well, it's hard to do right in this wicked society in which we live. It may be difficult, but it's possible. It's very possible to do the right thing, even when those around you is doing the wrong thing. And the king was looking for someone he could trust. The king was looking for someone he could count on. And so we see here, first of all, Daniel's position. But I want you to notice a second thing here, and that's Daniel's peril. Daniel's peril. Notice, if you would, in verses 4 through 9, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they, they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto the king, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, understand tonight, as we think about this, often people with character are the object of envy by those without character. Let me repeat that. Often people with character are the object of envy by those that have no character. Now, I want you to notice here, as we think about this, first of all, the president's envy. The Bible says again in verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. These presidents, those three other presidents, were looking for a fault or for an occasion that Daniel messed up, but they didn't find any occasion where Daniel messed up. Now understand this evening, there are always people seeking to find fault in others, especially those who profess they are Christian. The world has locked its focus on those that claim to be a Christian, seeking an occasion or seeking to find fault in those individuals. If you want to know how Christians behave themselves or how to act or live, just ask someone that's not a Christian and they'll be quick to tell you. I was talking with someone this week who obviously had a bad experience in some church somewhere. I don't know where, but they were commenting how that they didn't trust preachers and they didn't like churches. And I said to this individual, I said, well, let me ask you this. I asked this individual what they did for a living, and they told me the job that they had. I said, has there ever been any bad apples in your industry? They said, well, certainly there has. I said, the truth is there are bad in everything. There are bad police officers. There are bad preachers. They are bad engineers. There are bad politicians. They are bad in every aspect of life. But understand this, though there may be some that's bad, not everyone's bad. Though there may have been some preachers mess up, and there have been, sadly. But though there may have been some preachers mess up who've lost the focus that they have, and by the way, our focus to be upon the Lord, we're not to try to align the congregation or the people's focus upon oneself. That's a foolish thing. Though there's been preachers mess up, not every preacher's messed up. Though there's churches that's had problems, not every church has problems. Man, I'm grateful for this church. You know, as far as I know, of course, the pastor's always the last one to know anything. But as far as I know, there doesn't seem to be any problems at Temple Baptist Church. And that's why I ask you to pray, because the devil doesn't like that. And but these men, these presidents, these princes were looking for an occasion that they could lay a blame upon Daniel, and they couldn't find one. We see not only the president's envy, but I want you to notice here the president's examination. Again, the Bible tells us in verses 4 and 5, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Would to God that would be said of every individual, every member of Temple Baptist Church. We can't find anything wrong with them except their loyalty and their dedication to the Word of God and to the God of that Word. But that's exactly what they found here. They tried to find fault with Daniel's ability. They couldn't find any fault. They tried to find fault with Daniel's integrity. They could not find any fault. They tried to find fault with Daniel's fidelity. They could not find any fault. They tried to find fault with Daniel's devotion. They could not find any fault. But again, they found no flaws in those areas. Now, let me say this evening, if our ability and our integrity and our fidelity and our devotion were examined this evening, would there be any flaws or faults found in ours? Think about it for a moment. If our ability, if our integrity, if our fidelity, if our devotion were examined this evening, would there be any flaws or faults found? We not only see the president's envy in their examination, but notice, if you would, also the president's evilness. Their evilness stemmed out of envy. Notice what the Bible says in verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, I want you to notice here this evilness, or their evilness, involved several things. First of all, it involved flattery. They began to flatter the king. They began to boost up the king's ego, and so it involved flattery, but it also involved foolishness to get the king to sign this decree. Again, the flattery was seen in the idea that the king would be sought as God for the petitions of the people. He'd be elevated in the eyes of those he was leading. And they said, if anybody seeks any petition from God or any other man other than you, let him be cast in the lion's den. Now, we don't know this, but certainly that must have brushed the ego of old Darius, or of the king. And often people will use means of flattery to try to get their way. Amen. I've seen some children that are adorable, and man, they know it, and they use that to their advantage. We have some of them around here. I had some of them in my office this morning after church. One of them was looking at me, batting eyes. I said, "What do you want?" They pointed to the M&M jar. I was going to give them M&Ms. They didn't have to flash their eyes at me. But they use means of flattery to try to get their way. This is not a new thing. It's been going on forever. But these men tried to stroke the ego of this king, and they began to use flattering words to try to get the king to sign this decree. Now, I said a moment ago, it involved two things. It involved flattery, but it also involved foolishness. The foolish part of this is there would no prayer take place to God, the God of heaven, for 30 days. Can you imagine what would happen in this country if nobody prayed for 30 days? You think about that. Can you imagine how, I mean, it's bad now. Can you imagine how bad it would get if there was nobody allowed to pray for 30 days? That's a foolish thing. To ask the king to not allow anybody to pray to the God of heaven for 30 days. Complete foolishness. But I want you to think about this. Often our ego causes us to make foolish decisions. Often our ego causes us to make some foolish decisions. I hope we understand this tonight. Without God, we're nothing. Without God, we are nothing, and we can do nothing without God. And for someone to be so foolish to sign a decree that nobody's allowed to pray to anybody but me for 30 days is a recipe for disaster. You think about it. Darius deceived himself by the aid of those presidents, those princes and captains, and all the others that came with such a foolish recommendation. That leads us to consider a third thought this evening. That's old Daniel's prayer. Notice what the Bible says in verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Now, notice there's not a period there. You know, some folks get the idea that Daniel was being rebellious and Daniel was trying to be a renegade. No, the Bible goes on to say, as he did aforetime. You know, sometimes the only time Christians get all riled up is when they can make a scene. Amen. Now, I think there's times we've got to stand and we've got to speak. But a lot of times we're silent all the other times. This was not the case with Daniel. He had been praying like this for years. The Bible again tells us, as he did aforetime, verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Now understand this evening, again, this was not something that Daniel did just to make a statement. This was something that Daniel had consistently done throughout his life. They knew there was no no flaws in his integrity. They knew there was no flaws in his ability. They knew there was no flaws in his character. This was the only way that they were going to be able to get Daniel. And this was not something that Daniel did to make a statement. This was something he was consistently doing. Now, I want you to notice, we consider this, the circumstances of Daniel. Daniel, I believe, knew what it was going to cost him to take a stand, because the decree had already been signed. It had been made very clear what was going to happen if anybody got caught making petition to anyone, any god or anyone other than the king, was going to be thrown into the lion's den. Daniel knew it was going to cost him to take a stand for the Lord. Now understand this evening, there is a cost for standing fast faithfully. Standing fast is not always easy. Standing fast is not always popular. There's a cost for standing fast faithfully. The Lord made that clear over in the book of Luke chapter 14. Turn there if you would. Luke chapter 14. The Lord is speaking on a very similar subject here. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 14 and verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, why, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Understand, there's a cost involved in standing fast. The decree had been signed. Daniel knew that. Daniel didn't go close his windows. Daniel didn't change the room he was praying in. Daniel continued to pray as he had prayed aforetime, regardless of the cost. We note not only here the circumstance of Daniel, but note here the character of Daniel. Daniel was not a secret disciple. You know, there's a whole lot of people that would fall into that classification. They're secret Christians. Notice again, if you would, back in chapter 6, verse 10. And he went into his house, and now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and the windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed. Now understand, I've already touched on this briefly, but understand, it's easy to be a Christian at church. It's easy. But it's completely different at work. It's completely different at school. And it's completely different even in our homes. Daniel demonstrated consistent character even when the circumstances was challenging. May I remind us this evening, we too need to be people with consistent character. Even when the circumstances become very challenging. Now we've considered Daniel's position, Daniel's peril, and Daniel's prayer. Notice, if you would, fourthly here, Daniel's persecution. As we think about his persecution here, we note here, first of all, the charge. The Bible tells us in verses 11 through 13, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. These wicked men laid a trap to catch Daniel, but also to catch Darius. They knew that Daniel faithfully prayed three times a day, at least three times a day. And so they make their charge to the king. They remind the king of the commandment. And when the king signed the decree, he signed it with no loopholes. You know, there's a lot of people, they're just looking for loopholes in their Christian life. Somebody told me the other day, well, you know, I can be as good of a Christian at my home as I can at church. You very well may be a good Christian at home. You ought to be a good Christian at home. But it still does not eliminate the Bible, what it says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a matter of some is. That's exactly what I told that individual. I said, you ought to be a good Christian at home. You're a hypocrite if you're not, if you're only a good Christian at church. But it still does not eliminate the verse that tells us we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is. That does not eliminate people attending faithfully the house of God and the worship services of God. You know, it's amazing to me how frivolous excuses people use to miss services. You know, they could have who knows what? An eyelash in their eye and they can't come to church. Now you ought to say amen because you're here tonight. And you ought to say it loud enough that those is listening and not here tonight hears you say amen. Amen. Thank you. They ought to be here if they're not physically unable to be here. I understand that. But there's a whole lot of folks that's physically able to be here and they chose not to be. And they make statements like this, well, I can be a good Christian at my home. I can worship God in my recliner. Yeah, you can. You ought to. It doesn't eliminate the fact that you have a responsibility to be in the house of God when the house of God is open and church services are going on. You say, are you a little aggravated? Sometimes. I'd be lying if I didn't tell you I was or wasn't. People have the flimsiest excuses for not coming. You know? Well, preacher, you know, there's a chance of rain outside. Oh, they ain't a none of us going to melt. As Jody came in tonight, Brother Garson, I was out there looking how we can build a ramp out there. And Miss Jody said, you all going to melt? Or you all think you're going to melt? And I said, there's not a chance of it. Not a chance of it. Well, you know, it might rain outside, preacher, and I just washed my car. Well, I guarantee you it's not going to stop you from going out and eating. Running to the fair, running through the mud, traipsing through the animal crates over there, and then getting back in your car. You just don't want to come. Just be honest. When you lay out of church, you just don't want to be here. Now, I'm not talking so much to you because you are here. But I hope there's some folks listening that ought to be here. You know? And they can turn me off. That's fine. They can hit the cancel button. That's fine. They can hit the unfriend button. That's fine. I don't care. They ought to be in church instead of running around doing everything under the sun except doing the right thing. Well, preacher, we're working on our family. Well, the best place to work on your family is in the church. Well, we're just having some problems and issues, and we got to kind of work out some problems. The best place to work out your problems is in church, not at the fair. Amen. I hope it rains on Wednesday night. I'm glad it's raining today. I hope it shut every ride down over there. I hope it pours Wednesday night. I just got to go to the fair, preacher. Really? Flimsy excuses. This decree that Darius signed was a decree that had no loopholes. His own law made him helpless in freeing Daniel. And he labored all day trying to find out how he could help Daniel, but he found no way at all. We note not only the charge and the commandment, but we also note here his committal of Daniel to the lion's den. The Bible tells us in verses 16 and 17, then the king commanded. They brought Daniel and cast him in the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now if that was all we had from Darius, we would have said Darius was a great man. But that when he comes to the den of lions in just a few moments, he's asking Daniel if he's still alive. Verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Now understand, these men were committed to putting Daniel to death. Again, it stemmed out of envy. They didn't like Daniel. He was preferred above all the other presidents. And the reason being is he had a different spirit about him. He'd proven himself to be trustworthy. He had proven himself to be an individual with integrity and character. But the king here was assured that Daniel would be delivered. And that leads us to consider a fifth thought tonight, and that's Daniel's preservation. Notice, if you would, in verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. This is quite different than the statement he made just a little bit earlier. Is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Now, as we think about this, we note here, and we can't help but note here, the concern of the king. The Bible tells us he fasted, there was no music played, he couldn't sleep, and he went very early to the lion's den to check on Daniel. But not only do we note here the concern of the king, we see here the care of the Lord. Man, what an amazing testimony this is. The care of the Lord. The Bible says in verse 22, "My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me." Understand this evening, God is the God of the impossible. God is the God of the impossible. God brought deliverance to Daniel. Turn, if you would, over to the book of 2 Peter, and then we're going to go back and read a passage out of Psalms chapter 91. 2 Peter chapter 2. And I hope this will be something, a verse that you would commit to memory, because it's such a great encouraging verse. When we find ourselves not maybe physically in a lion's den, but maybe emotionally or some other way, we're facing a very difficult time. But notice, if you would, here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." God took care of Daniel. And we're going to see here in just a minute, he also took care of those other men. Turn over, if you would, to Psalms 91. The psalmist here speaking regarding the Lord's care of him. And the Bible tells us in verse 2 of Psalms 91, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust, or in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways." Even in the den of lions, God's able to care for his people. Even in the fiery furnace, God was there to take care of those young men. Let me consider briefly just one final thought tonight. And that's Daniel's prosperity. Go back, if you would, to the passage we read a moment ago in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, we'll read verse 26. The king's speaking again. He's making a second decree. The king says, "I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even until the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered in the region of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. As we note here, this decree, what an amazing decree this second decree was. And in this decree, Darius proclaims that God is God. And the Bible tells us that Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel prospered during the reign of two kings, Darius and Cyrus. I want to close tonight. You say, how in the world was it possible for Daniel to demonstrate such consecration and steadfastness? How is he able to stand fast? We looked at that this morning, back in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says of Daniel that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. May I say this evening, if we are going to stand fast, we first must purpose in our heart to do so. It doesn't come automatically. There must be a choice. There must be a decision. There must be a determination. There must be a purpose in our heart. We will stand fast in the Lord. Have we made that purpose or have we made that decision? Daniel was a man with great integrity. He was a man that demonstrated tremendous character. He was a man that was consistent. He wasn't interested in making a statement when the first decree was signed. He went to his room. He prayed as he had before times or off times. He prayed three times a day. He wasn't out to just stir up and make a statement. But God rewarded his faithfulness. And even in the den of lions, God sent his angel that shut the mouth of those lions. God took care of him. Why? Because he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. I have no reason to doubt that those here in this room tonight, maybe even some listening over the airways, has a desire maybe to stand fast, but you haven't determined to stand fast. You see, desire and determination is completely different. I can have a desire to lose weight, but until I'm determined to do such, I'm not going to lose an ounce. Amen? That's why all the diet companies prosper at the beginning of the year. Everybody wants to lose some weight, so they put the commercials on. You can lose weight with our program. Until you're determined to lose weight, I don't care how much your desire is, you're not going to lose any weight. Because a determination will outweigh a desire to eat a donut. Amen? Doctor asked me the other day, I saw him at the hospital, he said, how's that finger doing? I said, it's a perfect donut hook. I said, I appreciate that. He said, I can straighten that for you. I said, no. I said, it works perfectly. You just stick it in the box and out comes a donut. Just hooks automatically. I'm not going to stop eating donuts. I've got a desire to stop eating donuts, but I'm not determined to stop eating donuts. Amen? Until I'm determined to stop eating donuts, my desire really doesn't matter much. Until we're determined to stand fast in the Lord, our desire is not going to matter much. I have no reason to doubt that most everybody that comes to Temple Baptist Church has the right desire, but they don't have the right determination. There's folks at home tonight, they have a desire to be a good Christian, but they don't have the right determination. That's why they're sitting at home tonight. Until our determination is right, our desires does not matter. Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the king's meat or the king's wine. What's our determination tonight? Have we purposed in our heart that we'll stand fast in the Lord? You say, that's my desire. I didn't ask, do we have that desire? I'm certain everybody in this room has that desire. Have we made that determination? Because without the determination, our desire really doesn't matter. Let's bow our heads. Our heads are bowed. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation in just a moment. Very appropriate hymn for this day. I have decided to follow Jesus. Again, note the songwriter did not say, I have a desire to follow Jesus. He said, I've decided to follow Jesus. Have we purposed in our heart? Have we determined? Have we decided to stand fast in the Lord? You say, that's my desire. I didn't ask that. We can have all the desire in the world, but till we have a determination, till we purpose in our heart, that desire is not going to matter much. Do we have that determination? Have we made that decision? So we sing this hymn of invitation in just a moment. That may be something you need to come and pray about. Again, as I said a moment ago, I have no reason to doubt that certainly everyone in this room tonight, but probably most everyone that called Temple Baptist Church their home has the right desires, but they don't have the right determination. They've not decided. They've not purposed in their heart.